when you go to a retreat, when you start your retreat. These are very conducive conditions for you to really train your mind and set your mind on firm footing, so that when you are out of the retreat, your mind has entered deep and your daily mindfulness can be developed very fast. So to do that, I will read through the retreat notes, then you will understand. So annual meditation retreat, this is our 8th year, consecutively, the 8th year, number 8, at Mahayana Triple Gem Temple, San Pao Si, Binchang, Cameron Highland. We're supposed to have it on the 14th of March, Saturday, to the 21st of March, also Saturday, so total of 8 days. Our usual one is about 9 days, but because of traffic, we shorten it by 1 day. So I will read you the introduction so that you understand. This meditation retreat caters for all participants who may be from different background or Buddhist tradition with varying meditation experiences. The emphasis here is on the understanding of the Buddha Dharma and the meditation as taught by the Buddha, instead of focusing on method and techniques of meditation. This program was prepared to allow participants or yogi to settle down slowly into the retreat proper via a less stringent first session where more Dharma understanding will be emphasized, followed by a more stringent second session where noble silence, heedfulness, and the meditative training and actual cultivation will be emphasized. So this is a very important introduction. Then I will read you the main purpose and intent. You can do this, you will become very good. You will progress very fast. Number one, the main purpose and intent. To understand and realize the noble teaching of Lord Buddha, we are sincerely cultivating the much-needed heedfulness or appamada, as always emphasized by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verses 1, 21, 22, 23, 183, and his final advice, appamadena sampadeta, before his parinibbana. Then the second main purpose and intent is to train ourselves during the meditation retreat. So now you are doing it at home, your self-retreat. To develop a very stable daily mindfulness. This is the most important. Stable daily mindfulness means silent mind with inner awareness, constantly aware, leading to heedfulness from the moment we commence our retreat. To diligently maintain noble silence of mind and speech during the retreat duration. To cultivate sati sampajana, or mindfulness and clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, suitability, and non-delusion as a sign of our respect for the way place. Learn to be at ease, naturally relaxed, and aware via heedfulness most of the time. So ability to be at ease, naturally relaxed, and maintain awareness is the most important. You always move, speak, and act naturally. Don't try to act out of it. Don't try to become rigid or a robot. That one is not your true nature. That one is the thought telling you, you must speak nicely, properly. So you try to act. That is not your true character. And if you do that, you will never learn. You can never develop the true understanding of the real teaching, the Buddha Dharma. I think somebody not mute. You have to mute them. Somebody must have on your speakerphone. Okay, thanks. Number four, main purpose and intent. Oh, sorry. Number three, I haven't finished. Always move, speak, and act naturally, but with inner awareness throughout the day. to stabilize your five spiritual faculties until they become very stable and unshakable. So these five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya is very important. You have to develop them until it's very stable, until you become unshakable powers. And then you are definitely destined for enlightenment. Mm. And the fourth main intent or purpose is, with the stable daily mindfulness or awareness, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path via constant creative contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths, especially its three turning, leading to the perfection of all the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi, so that you are incapable of any ill whenever you are heedful. Then to maintain this heedfulness or apamada training throughout the day, so as to enable the cultivator to have the condition, the insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, to awaken, to realize the insight, knowledges, and wisdom needed to liberate the mind, leading to the realization of Nibbana, which is the cessation of form and mind as thought by the Buddha. Then number five, to diligently develop the understanding of the following important dhammas as taught by the Buddha: the five mental hindrance, pancha nivaranas; the five spiritual faculty, pancha indriyas; the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion; the three right views of kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama; and the dwelling of paticca samuppada; the four noble truths, its three turnings; and the four foundation of mindfulness; the seven factors of enlightenment, or satta bhujanga. Then understand what constitute dana, sila, and bhavana. Then what is sila, samadhi, and panya. So samadhi and panya is actually bhavana. So dana, sila, bhavana is dana, sila, samadhi, and panya. The Buddha added in dana, parami, generosity, parami, is to help you to develop better condition, to cultivate, to develop the Buddha Dharma understanding. So sila, samadhi, and panya is actually Noble Eightfold Path. Sila is morality, samadhi is right mindfulness, and right samadhi. Samadhi is collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. Whereas sati is awareness, just awareness before the knowing. Mm. So when you are aware, you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Then it has the ability to remain collected and unwavering in the midst of life experiences. Means in the midst of life, your mind, which is a free mind, can be in a state of samadhi because it has the stability of samadhi. That's why when the sense data come in, most people without samadhi, their mind will stir. They cannot remain collected and unwavering. That's why they can't see things as they are. They see things following their conditioning, their memories, their views, their opinion, their belief system. Sometimes they follow their traditional belief. We call it tradition. So all this is how they act. They act with delusion. They act with wrong view. So without wisdom, you cannot act. You need wisdom to have right action. So the right action is act with understanding. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Whereas acting according to wisdom or right view or right understanding is true action. So you must have understanding or wisdom, then only you can act. Otherwise you can't act. Your right and wrong is according to you, according to the individual, according to your belief system, your tradition, your custom and all those things. So all this is society's convention, which is not ultimate truth. That's why you will never get it right. Then your thought is involved. So all these thought-based action, they can never give rise to wisdom or understanding. They can never awaken you. So this part on the cultivation is very important. Then the last one is the five daily contemplation. You need to cultivate this daily, the Buddha said. This body of ours is of the nature to get old, get sick, and finally die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. So this first three will let you develop the wisdom not to attach and cling to this physical body. Where this physical body can never be you. Without the consciousness, it's only the four great elements, and they go the way of nature. There is no knowing, it can never be you. That's why the Buddha said this body of ours is impermanent, lead to suffering. That's why it's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, because it's not you. It's not self. If it's self, you can tell this body, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. But because it can't. So this is to do away with your attachment, self-delusion, so that you won't attach, you won't cling, so that you know truly what the body is. The body is not you, but karmically conditioned for you to come as a vehicle for you to use. Then within this physical body, there is also the six senses, where the consciousness upon contact can create the respective consciousness. The sixth sense, the consciousness. That's why you are able to be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactilely feel and think. So all this are the power of mind, and you need a condition, which is the physical body with its senses. Without the senses, you cannot exist. All our existence actually come through the sense of consciousness. That's why the Buddha always start Dhammapada verse and 2 with this famous saying, our mind is the form of all things. When mind arise, everything arise. So mind is chief. So take care of mind. If you neglect mind and become heedless, you will suffer. Suffering will follow you. Because your karma will be affected, and you will develop a lot of suffering. Okay, I read on the last one, point number 6. To silence your mundane mind to realize the true mind, that is what meditation is all about, so that you can be constantly aware within. If your mundane mind is not silent, you cannot be aware within. True or not? Check for yourself. That's why all our meditation start with relax, aware, silent your mind, don't do anything. So to silence your mind, your mundane mind, to realize a true mind is the real meditation. So that you can be constantly aware within. When you are not lost in thought, preoccupied with what your thought is doing or thinking, then you can be mindful, aware within the moment. Otherwise you are lost in thought, heedless. Then to stabilize the silent mind until the enlightenment factor of paucity, which is tranquility and stillness of mind, arise, means mind enter sati. To establish a very good daily religious routine for the cultivator to develop a very stable daily mindfulness when they revert back to their normal day-to-day cultivation after the retreat. So this is the purpose. Retreat is to stabilize your spiritual faculty, stabilize your sati. especially sati leading to samadhi, until mind enters sati, then you can be mindful in the midst of life. You can be heedful in the midst of life. Otherwise, you don't stand a chance. Because the moment you revert back to your daily life, you realize that you are not in a retreat condition anymore. The retreat condition is different, very conducive. The setting, the environment, everything, the nature, very beautiful, very conducive. Everybody keep the five precepts. Nobody disturb you. There is nothing to test you. But when you return to your daily life, to society, your sixth sense door, they are fully engaged. If you don't have a stable mindfulness, your mind will continue to stir, react, and create heedlessness. You can't be heedful. And the evil roots, the three evil roots are greed, hatred, delusion. Together with the five mental hindrances, they keep on arising. That's why you cannot cope with life. You find that you are hardly aware or mindful while in the midst of life, unless you develop the training, the daily religious routine, you stabilize your silent mind and realize your true mind during formal meditation and retreat. This is the only way. That's why the Buddha said the four foundations of mindfulness is the only way. Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. O bhikkhu. This is the only way for the purification of mind, for overcoming sorrow and lamentation, to realize the enlightenment. This is Nibbana. Namely, the four foundations of mindfulness. Because if you don't cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness leading to enlightenment in the here and the now, which is anagami shape or arahant shape, then you can only develop up to the first and second sainthood, sotapanna shape and sakadagami shape. But it's already good enough.